Good morning. I read a few lines that we read last week and go into one aspect of it. So page Samach Dalet at the bookmarks. Titania, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Meitim Shechaya Yechezkel Amdua Raglehem, Bamru Shirov Meitu. Rabbi Eliezer says, the Mesim that Yechezkel revived, this is the famous dry bones, Nevua. They stood on their feet, they said Shira, and they died. Ma Shira Amru, what Shira did they say? Hashem may meet B'tzedek v'machayev v'rachamim. Hashem puts to death with justice and brings back to life with mercy. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Shira Zo Amru. Rabbi Yeshua says, they said, this Shira, Hashem may meet v'machayev v'richo v'yal. Hashem puts to death and brings back to life, takes down to the grave and brings back up. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Emet Mashal Haya. Rabbi Yehuda says, truth, it was a parable. Amar lo Rabbi Nechemiah, Rabbi Nechemiah said, im emet lama mashal, vim mashal lama emet. If it's truth, why is it parable? And if it's parable, why is it truth? Ela be'emet mashal haya. Rather, in truth, it was a parable. Rabbi Eliezer ben Osh, Rabbi Yosef, li omer, meitim shechaya chezkel alu le'eretz Yisrael, v'nasu nashim v'olidu b'ni menot, the meisim that Yechezkel revived, went up to Israel, had sons and daughters. Amad Rabbi Yehuda ben Matera Araglav Amar Anim Bibnei Bneihem Valalu Tfilim Sheiniach Li Avi Abba Mehem. Rabbi Yehuda ben Matera said, I am one of their descendants, and these are the tefillin that I inherited from one of them. That's the as much as I want to read. Now, we mentioned last week that there seemed to be something deeper about this discussion between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemiah, whether it's emet mashal haya or be'emet mashal haya. Still have not found anything that completely addresses that. However, I mentioned last week the Toras Chaim on Sanhedrin says that the significance of the word be'emet is that Mar says, kol be'emet hilchata. Wherever it says be'emet, that is the halacha. That is the absolute truth. In some versions, some in fact learn, kol be'emet halacha l'moshe mi-sinai, which clearly could not be the case here because it's talking about a story that happened in time of Yechezkel. Rather, kol be'emet halacha means, Farshim explained that wherever it says wherever the Gemara or Mishnah uses the term be'emet, it means absolutely no discussion. This is how we paskin. So Sefer Ikarim asks, as we asked last week, Rabbi Yehuda says be'emet mashal haya, then how does that work with Rabbi Yehuda ben Viseira saying, I'm one of their descendants. And these are the tefillin that I inherited. Sefer Ikarim says that Rabbi Yehuda Viteira's statement was Guzma ba'alma kamar. It was simply an exaggeration. There's no question that since it says be'emet mashal haya, that it was a mashal. It didn't actually happen. It was a nevua. It wasn't an actual event. And Rabbi Yehuda Viteira disagreed with and held it was an actual event, and so it's like he said, you know, for all you know, I'm one of their descendants, but not that he actually had, for all you know, I'm one of their descendants, and these are their tefillin, but not that he actually had a tradition that he was one of their descendants, so Sefer Ikarim learns, and that the correct understanding is...
And it's to make the point that they didn't...
And that it was in fact a mashal. Okay? That's how Sefer Ikarim concludes. Since it says be'emet, and we hold that wherever it says be'emet, that's the halacha. So therefore, that must be the truth. That it wasn't an actual story that happened. It was a nevuah. It was a mashal. And what was it a mashal for? So Sefer Ikarim says it was a mashal for the lowliness of the Jewish people in Galus. and that they will come back to Eretz Yisrael and settle the land. It wasn't even a mashal for Tchias HaMesim. Okay. It was rather a mashal for, and we saw others who mentioned that there are those who say this and criticize that. Sefer Ikarim is one of those who says it was a mashal for, wasn't even a mashal about Tchias HaMesim. It was a mashal about the national revival of the Jewish nation, which is right now like dead. So Sefer Ikarim.
Saying this emphasized that he did not agree with this point. That it
correct.
Was a mashal.
Correct. But not that he had an actual family tree. Family. Correct. And not that he actually had tefillin of one of these people. Barbanel says, "Ein v'yadenu lachriach im meteichas kol yam mashal ohaya devar hadarak pshuta." We cannot possibly decide if it was a mashal or it actually happened. Kimi shach yado ben goni olam lachriach mashal chakuba. Who are we to get in the middle of between, as Rabbi Winter would have said, between two tanks? You know. It's not for us. Aval levado dia, but I will tell you this: shegam shenodesh yad devar kipshuto. Even if we acknowledge that it actually happened, v'shekamu v'chayu atam meitim, ein safek sheba nevuah zot ladia lenavi shekain yu kol beit Yisrael shemetu v'galut sheod yakumu mikivrehem v'yavo al admat Yisrael. Even if we say that it actually happened, there's no question that it also was a mashal to teach about Tchias HaMesim. And don't say it's a mashal about the ingathering of the exiles and the national revival of the Jewish people. There are plenty of other mashalim about that in Tanakh, including in Sefer Yechezkel, including the very section of Sefer Yechezkel that follows this one. And there would be no purpose in dressing up the concept of the ingathering of the exiles in a mashal about Tchias HaMesim. Rather, this is clearly a mashal about Tchias HaMesim. Okay. Even if it actually happened, it's also a mashal. This is all leading to a broader topic that I want to talk about. But first, the Drushos Yad Yosef from the late 1600s in the Drusha for Shabbos Chol Hamoed Pesach, because this section of Yechezkel is the Haftorah for Shabbos Chol Hamoed Pesach. So he asks, what is the machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua about what shira they sang? And so we saw one explanation for that last week. He gives a different explanation, which is that when we talk about Tchias HaMesim, so we saw machlokes about between the Rambam and the Ramban, among others, about whether Tchias HaMesim involves just the soul or also the body. Yad Yosef says that Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua both agree that there will be a body, but they're arguing about whether it will be the same body or a different body. Rabbi Eliezer says that Hashem will create new bodies, because this body that we have now is full of sin. Okay? Hashem may meet betzedek. Hashem puts people to death in justice, and he will revive them with rachamim. But since it will be rachamim, the neshama will come back with rachamim, but not sufficient to cleanse the current body of all of its sins. Hashem will create totally new bodies.
Talking about the physical body?
He's talking about the physical body.
So
now,
how does that fit in with the fact that we've said that they're going to come back and then their physical defects are going to disappear?
Rabbi Eliezer is a Tana, and he can argue with that. Okay. That's how the Yad Yosef is explaining Rabbi Eliezer, and seemingly Rabbi Eliezer argues with the mashal about the blind man and the lame man. Okay. The Rabbi Yeshua says, no, Hashem meimit u'mechayev, morit sheol v'yal. Hashem puts to death and brings to life, takes down to the grave and brings back up. We're going to have exactly the same bodies that we had. Okay. And on that, Rabbi Yehuda says it was a mashal. In other words, even if you say that it really happened, let's say it was the Bnei Ephraim, or it was as we have in this week's parsha, that Hashem didn't want to take the Jewish people through the land of the Plishtim, because the Gemara says that the Bnei Ephraim tried to leave Mitzrayim 30 years early, and the Plishtim killed them, and Hashem didn't want the Jewish people to be reminded of that. So, so even if you'll say that, nevertheless, there is a mashal here. That's what Rabbi Yehuda is saying. So that could be an explanation for why Rabbi Yehuda used the words emet mashal haya. It was emet. It was also a mashal. They're both true. It happened, but it's also a mashal. And since it's a mashal, okay, we should not read into every detail. And we saw that the Mincha Gedola, we saw this last week, Mincha Gedola on Yechezkel on page 597 in the Art Scroll Mikros Gedolos, says that even according to the one who says it was a mashal, he doesn't mean it didn't happen. He just means that since it was intended as a mashal, we shouldn't necessarily try to find meaning in every single detail, and therefore we cannot conclude, which is why the Gemara brought this in the first place, that whether after Tchias Mason people will die again. The Gemara had said, learn from the Mason that Yechezkel revived, that after Tchias Mason people will die again. And the Gemara said, no, it's a mashal. Or at least as an opinion that it's a mashal. In other words, even though it really happened, but since it's a mashal, you can't necessarily read meaning into every detail. And that is the topic that I want to talk about today, which is when we learn Tanakh and see a mashal, do we read detail into meaning into every single detail or not? Finished with the Gemaras. Close them if you'd like. The Zohar in Parshat Baalotcha, Daf Kuf Nun Bet Amud Aleph, this is brought in the Ramah. The Ramah in Shulchan Aruch wrote a commentary on Miguel's Esther called Mechir Yayin, and he begins his introduction by quoting the Zohar. And Zohar says, Rabbi Shimon Amar, Vailahu Barnash Damar Daha Uraita Ata Lachazasi Purin Baalma Umilin Dedyoti. Woe to the person who says that the Torah is coming to tell us stories and simple things. And the commentary Matok Midvash on the Zohar says, for example, the story of Lavan or the story of Bilam. Woe to someone who says that they are just stories. Because if they were just stories, we could write better stories. So the Zohar says, we could write better stories than the Torah could write. Or nicer poetry. We could do a better job if that's all there was to it. Ila chaza mila da alma. If the Torah is just coming to tell us history, the non-Jewish kings and nobles, they have better chronicles and his stories of history than the Torah. Let's take one of those history books and make that our Torah. Ella vadai, rather, obviously that's not correct. Rather, vadai kol milin doraita milin ilain inun v'razin ilain. All the words of the Torah are lofty words and lofty secrets. Tachazi, come and see. Alma ilav alma tata b'chad metakla itaklu. The upper world and the lower world are weighed on the same scales. In other words, everything that's above has a parallel below. There's Yisrael, Latata, there are the Jews below, Malachi, Ilai, Le'ela, and there are Malachim above. Okay. Regarding the Malachim, it says, Osem Malachav Ruchot, that Hashem makes them, they are spirits without bodies. Bishata, Denachti, and Latata, but when Malachim come down to earth, Midlabshe, Belvushadai Alma, they have to dress up in the clothing of this world. They get bodies, like the Malachim who came to Avram. They put on bodies to come down to this world. If they didn't dress up in the clothing of this world, they couldn't stand in this world. And the world could not tolerate them. If this is true of the Malachim, the Torah through which the Malachim were created, because Hashem looked in the Torah and created the world, not just our world, entire world. So the Malachim were created through the Torah, and the entire world was created through the Torah. All the worlds were created through the Torah, and they exist because of the holiness of the Torah. Alachat kama v'kama. So certainly, kama d'nachti l'hai alma, when it comes down to this world, ilod mi'labsha b'hani l'vushin d'hai alma, if it didn't dress up in the clothing of this world, lo yachil alma l'mispal, the world could not tolerate the Torah. So the stories of the Torah are the clothing that the Torah wears. The one who thinks that the clothing is the Torah, and that there's nothing else besides the levush, besides the clothing, tipach ruche, his spirit should leave him. Begin kach amar David, gali nai vabita niflot mitar techa. Because of that, David said, uncover my eyes so that I will see the wonders in your Torah. What's beneath the clothing? For example, the Torah says, because of Yetzias Mitzrayim, eat matzah. Yet Moshe Rabbeinu told Bnei Yisrael, or at least Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu told Bnei Yisrael before Yetzias Mitzrayim to eat matzah. Okay. We're eating matzah because we hurried out of Mitzrayim, but we had the mitzvah before. Okay. So there are a number of explanations for that, but one explanation is that the mitzvah existed, the Torah existed before Yetzias Mitzrayim. The mitzvah existed. The story of hurrying out of Mitzrayim and not having time to bake matzah, that's the physical dress of the mitzvah, which is actually something spiritual. It's not really the reason. It's just the physical manifestation of the idea that is behind the mitzvah. Okay. And similarly, with any reason that the Torah gives for a mitzvah, that's merely that's the dress. That's not really what's behind the mitzvah. That's the dress. So the Rama brings this Zohar in his introduction to Megillas Esther, and then he brings the commentary of Shem Tov ben Yosef Ibn Shem Tov, who lived in the 1200s and wrote a commentary in Rambam's Mor Nevuchim, who writes as Chelek Aleph Perak Lamed Vav, Ra'ui lecha me'ayen sh'teida ki kol davar sh'yusag m'ra'a nevuah omnam hu mashali nanacher. Says anything that is attained through nevuah is a mashal for something else. Va'sover she'no mashal l'davar acher hu sachal. Person who thinks that it's not a mashal is a fool. But a person who thinks it's only a mashal, rasha, is a rasha. We saw in Rav Sadia Gaon, we talked about this in two different shiurim. Rav Sadia Gaon says that a pasuk should always be interpreted literally, unless you have, Rav Sadia Gaon gives four reasons why you would not interpret a pasuk literally, and he says, the danger is that if you start willy-nilly saying that something is just a mashal, then maybe all the mitzvos are mashaling too. Maybe I don't have to put on tefillin. Maybe it's a mashal. Maybe I don't have to sit in a sukkah. It's a mashal. And we know, unfortunately, there are Jews who think that way. So Shem Tov says, if you don't know it's a mashal, you're a fool. If you think it's only a mashal, you're a rasha. Aval yichuyav shisbor bo shnei inyanim yachad. Rather, they're both true, and you have to know that every nevuah has some truth to it. It also has some literal truth to it, and also a mashal. And so, based on that, the Rama himself writes, "Don't know it's a mashal, you're a fool. And if you think it's only a mashal, you're a rasha, because you won't put on tefillin this morning. You'll say." Tell them what's a mashal. I should bind my heart and my brain to God. Yes. Huh?
There's no more fools.
Because that you won't do mitzvos to your Russia. You won't put on tefillin. It's true. The tefillin is a symbol for binding your heart and your brain to God. But it's also a mitzvah to tie the tefillin on your arm and on your head. And if you don't do that, you're Russia. In fact, Gemara says that person never puts on tefillin will never get out of Gehenna. Okay? Marska specifically gives that example. So the Rama says, therefore, it's not possible. It's almost 30 days before Purim, so we can mention something about Miguel Sester. Rama says, it's not possible that Miguel Sester is just a story afterward. After all, written Ruach HaKodesh. If it's simply a record of what happened, we wouldn't need Ruach HaKodesh. Okay. Others would say we need Ruach HaKodesh to put together the pieces of the story because who would have thought, we read Miguel Sester in half an hour, 45 minutes, we forget that it covered a span of many, many years. Okay. And to put all the pieces together and see the connections, that could require Ruach HaKodesh, but the Rama says, no, if it's just a story, just a history, what do I need Ruach HaKodesh for? Clearly, there's also a mashal, and so in his commentary, he goes through the mashal. The question is, so if we're going to see Nevi'im and Ksuvim as parables, how deep do we have to go? So the Rama says, quotes the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim, Rambam in an introduction to Mor Nevuchim, the Rama quotes him as saying that don't try to find meaning in every detail, which seems to be like the Mincha Gedola and the Yad Yosef we're saying about the dry bones, and when the Gemara says it's a mashal, Gemara is saying therefore we cannot draw any conclusions about the future of Tchiyas HaMeisim because maybe there isn't every detail in every meaning in every detail, and the Rama says therefore I'm not obligated. I'm going to explain Miguel's Esther as a mashal, but I'm not obligated to explain every single detail of Miguel's Esther. Okay. In truth, the Rambam talks about this in greater detail. And the Rambam says, again, this is in the Ticha, the first introduction to Mor Nevuchim. He says, Daki maftecha v'nat kol mashamru ha-Nevi'im aleihem ha-Shalom. The key to understanding everything the Nevi'im said, vidiat amitato, and to know the truth of it, or to know its truth, hu havanat mishalim v'inyaneim, will be ur l'shonoteim. You have to know two things. You have to understand the words, and you have to know what it's a mashal for. And then he says that shato shal mashal eino, shal kol mashal eino klum. The mashal itself, the simple meaning of the mashal is a parable. It's a parable for something. Okay. So this raises the question, is there meaning in the parable itself? Or is it only the nimshal, the thing, the is it only the moral that has meaning? Or is there meaning in the parable itself? Or is it, could the parable have been something different? And he says, so the Rambam says, Pshato shel kol mashal eino klum. The pshat of every mashal is nothing. And we'll come back to that. He says, Amar ha-chacham, the chacham Shlomo Melech said, Tapuchei zahav maskir kesef. Apples of gold in nets of silver, davar dibur alofanav. So too is a word in all its aspects. A golden apple in a silver net. He explains, what does this mean? He says this is a wondrous mashal that Shlomo Melch gives us. If you see a golden apple in a silver net, at first you'll see the shape of an apple, but you'll see silver color. So you'll think it's a silver apple. Only when you look more closely will you realize that inside the silver apple, inside the silver net, is a golden apple. The silver net is the mashal. The golden apple is the nimshal. And the real value, the gold, is on the inside. But the Mefarshim on the Rambam say, he seems to have just contradicted himself. He said, the mashal is nothing. And then he said, the mashal is silver. It's true, it's not gold. The gold is the inside. But the outside is silver. So a number of commentaries on the Rambam address this. And the Abarbanel says that the Rambam is telling you, don't take what I said before literally, that the mashal is nothing. The mashal always has some practical guidance. For example, the Rambam will point out, a lot of Mishlei, the book of Mishlei, a lot of it is about avoiding wily women, avoiding adultery. That's good advice by itself. That's not what the nimshal, that's not what it's coming to teach. That's not really what it's coming to teach. But there is practical wisdom in the mashal itself. Okay? The Eish Hischayil, which is a literally is about a fine woman, right? It's also a mashal about the Torah. Okay. So the nimshal, the golden apple, is the Torah. But there's also practical advice in the mashal itself, in the silver net, about what is a good wife. So the Barbanel says that that's why he brought the pasuk of Tapuchei Zahav B'maskiot Kesef, the golden apple in the silver net, to tell you that the mashal also has value in itself. So that's what the Rabbanel says. Nevertheless, the Rambam's words are that the pshat of the mashal is nothing. So the contemporary commentaries on the Mor Nevuchim of Shlomo Aviner, for example, he says, I guess it's similar to the Barbanel, that when the Rambam says it's nothing, he means it's nothing compared to the importance of the actual lesson. The actual lesson is spiritual concepts. The actual lesson, take the dry bones, the actual lesson is a profound teaching about Yesamesim or the Geula. Compared to that, the actual story that Yechezkel revived the dead is nothing. However, it's not nothing. It's also something. The Rambam doesn't actually mean it's nothing. He means compared to the great value that we learn from the Nimshal, it's nothing. And and Rav Aviner suggests that and other commentaries as well, that in Tanakh the when we find a mashal, the mashal will have practical lesson for social interactions, for running a country, running a society, and the nimshal will be deep spiritual concepts or deep concepts of emuna. Another contemporary commentary, Dibur Umachshava of Rav Shlomo Toledano. So, actually, let's hold this. So, read a little more in the Rambam. So, the Rambam says, "Vida, you should know, ki mishalim anivuim yesh from shnei drachim." There are two types of mishalim that come through nevuah. Mehem mishalim shekol milash v'tom mashal kolot inan. There are some where every word has meaning. And there are some where it's the general idea. The Navi is coming to teach us a general idea. And there are many words in the Mashal that add nothing. If I want to get you to read my book, I've got to make it nice. So the Navi adds words, or Shlomo Melech in Mishlei tells a nice story. And there's a nimshal, there's a lesson, but don't try to find meaning in every single word. Okay? Or perhaps, kadelo sif pastrati na nimshal, the words come to hide the nimshal. Okay. So there are a couple reasons. One is because, just like we learned that in Agadata, the concepts are so lofty, they need to be hidden. So too, in the Nevuah, sometimes the concepts are so lofty, they need to be hidden. Another possibility is, I heard just a couple days ago, I was listening to a shiur by Rabbi Einemer, Zatzal, on Parshas Bo, and he digressed to discuss the beginning of Sefer Yirmiyah. Hashem says to Yirmiyah, "What do you see?" And Yirmiyah says, "I see a staff of almond wood." And Hashem says, "You've seen well." And he tells him what that represents. So Rav Einemer asks, "What do you mean, what do you see?" Hashem knows what he's showing him. "I'm seeing what you're showing me, God. What do you mean?" So Rav Einemer said, and I don't know if this is his own chiddush or saying in someone's name, that Yirmiyah saw a house. Obviously, this was a contemporary interpretation. Rav Einemer said he saw a house with a driveway and a car and, a swing set and some trees. That's what he saw. And his job as a Navi was to see through all of that to the real thing. What's God showing me? And Yirmiyah said, "God, I see all of this, but I know what you're showing me is that staff of almond wood." And to that Hashem says, "Hey, tavta lirat, you've seen well." Okay. It's the nevuah is cloaked in lots of extraneous things. And the Navi's job is to see through it, to see through the extraneous things. And Rav Einemer explained that's the idea of this, answer your question as well. That's the idea of that we say Moshe Rabbeinu saw Baspaklaria Hami'ira. Moshe Rabbeinu saw clearly, and other Nevi'im don't see clearly. Other Nevi'im see static. They see things that are not part of the real Nevuah, and they have to and they have to see through it and figure out what the nevuah is. So the idea here is that the nevuah is hidden in or because, so the Rambam gives two reasons. Here, the Rambam gives two reasons. Either it's just to make it more readable, to make the mashal more readable, so there's lots of nice details, lots of pretty, you know, flowers in the vision, or to actually, for the purpose of actually hiding it. It also could tie into the idea of a Navi, not, except for Moshe Rabbeinu, no Navi saw absolutely clearly. So Rambam gives examples of these two types. He says that the first type is Yaakov's vision of the ladder. He says that every single detail in that vision means something. The ladder with its, the fact that there was a ladder, the fact that it was standing on the ground, the fact that it reached the heaven, the fact there are angels there, the fact that they're going up, and the fact that they're going down, and the fact that Hashem is the top of the ladder. Seven different lessons. Unfortunately, Rambam doesn't tell us what they are. Okay? But he says every detail there means something. So some of the classic commentaries in the Rambam, they offer explanations for what these seven things are, but they offer that they're in the physical, the philosophical terminology of those times, which isn't so helpful for us and is a little off our topic today in any event. But the Rambam says that's an example of a nevuah that is where everything means something. On the other hand, he quotes extensively from Mishlei, Perek, Zion, Psukim, Vav through Chaf Aleph. So that's 16 Psukim. And says that after he quotes those 16 Psukim, he says, don't try to find meaning in every detail there. It's the Psukim we're talking about, as much of Mishlei is, but they are 16 psukim about avoiding the wrong woman. And he says, "Al tachkor achar kol pratei inyanim shenemru bo tamashal." Don't look into every detail. It says, "I looked out the window, and I saw youth lacking in understanding, going through the market, turning towards the house. It was evening. It was getting dark." He says, don't try to find meaning in every single detail there, okay? Because one of two things will happen. Either you'll miss the forest for the trees, okay? You'll miss the nimshal. You'll be so busy trying to explain every single detail of the mashal that you'll miss the point. Or you'll try so hard to explain every detail, you'll come up with the wrong explanation. There isn't meaning in every single detail, the Rambam says. So he doesn't say that, but one of the commentaries on the Rambam does say that. That Rav Aviner, he says that perhaps it has to do with different levels of nevuah. So the more, the lower the Navi's level, and Shlomo HaMelech, for all of his wisdom, Shlomo HaMelech was the wisest person who ever lived, but as a Navi, he was on a relatively low level. And we'll discuss this at a future date, different levels of nevuah and some of the Nevi'im, where they fit in. But Shlomo HaMelech as a Navi was on a relatively low level. And whereas the ladder, Yaakov, the vision of Yaakov in the ladder, that's not only Yaakov was on a very high level, but that's written in the Torah. And the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu is absolutely clear. It's the clearest of all Nevuahs. So if Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it in the Torah, it has to be absolutely clear. And therefore, every single word has meaning. That, as Yitzi suggested, that is how Rav Aviner, a distinction Rav Aviner suggests between these two different nevuahs. But then he quotes Rabbi Avram, the son of the Rambam, who says that even in the Torah, in the parts of the Torah which are poetry, for example, this week's Parsha Az Yashir, or Hazinu, or in Parsha Sukkos, there's a short Shira, okay, there we might not find meaning in every single word, even though it's in the Torah, because it's poetry. That's the nature of poetry. That's what he quotes.
Arguing with the opinion that not only every single word, but every single letter of the Torah has meaning, even to like
the Rambam.
The genealogy list.
Well, it has
very little commentary on, but
it has. Should have meaning in the literal truth. We saw already in the Gemara, Dibrat Torah Shel Bnei Adam. There's an opinion in the Gemara. The Torah speaks in the language of man. So maybe there isn't meaning in every single word. What he's bringing from Rabbeinu Avraham ben Rambam seems to be, we should look for meaning in every word of the Torah, except in the poetry. However, the Malbim, now the Rambam is a Rishon, Malbim is almost a contemporary commentary. However, he writes, Rav Malbim lived in the 1800s. Rav Malbim lived for most of the 1800s. He writes in his introduction to Yeshaya that the basis of his commentary on Tanakh, Yeshaya was the first volume of his Tanakh commentary, of his Navi commentary. And so he writes there in the introduction that my commentary is based on three principles. Number one, a Navi never says the same thing two different ways. Navi never says the same thing in two different ways. If there are two things in a Navi that seem to be the same, they must have different meanings. Navi never says the same thing twice. There are no two sentences that have the same meaning. Nothing is repeated. Bet, that's the first principle. Bet, lo nimtzu b'melitzot hanevi'im uv'ma'amareihem hapshutim o hakfulim milot u'polim hunchu b'mikre mibilti kavanah miyuchedet. There is not a single word that doesn't have a purpose. Ad shekol milot v'ashimot v'polim shemehem hurkav kol ma'amar lo levad shemuchrachim lavo b'ma'amarehu. Every single word in the Navi must be there. It's necessarily there for a reason. And no other word could have been used except that word. And third, lo nimtza b'mitzvot nevi'im klipa v'lo toch. There's no shell without an inside. V'ya v'lo neshama. There's no body without a soul. Levush b'lo mitlabesh. There's no clothing without something wearing the clothing. Marmar reik min miran iskav. There's nothing in the Navi that doesn't have deep meaning, because it's the words of Elohim Chaim. So the Malbim says my commentary on the Neviim is going to be based on these principles. So he doesn't say some versus others. I did not look in to see whether he distinguishes between Neviim and Ksuvim, whether Mishle he interprets differently. My guess is not, based on other things Malbim writes, which we will have to come back to perhaps another time in a different context. But in any event, you see a very wide difference between two different ways of interpreting Tanakh. The Malbim says every single word, not only every single word has meaning, but only that word could have been there, no other word, and there's no flowery poetry just to make it sound nice. And if you learn the Malbim in great, great detail, he explains through the Torah and the Neviim why this, how this is so, shows how it's so. On the other hand, the Rambam takes a more general view that sometimes it's just flowery language and we should find the meaning and find the lesson and not worry about every single word.
I think it's a perfect answer to the perfect segue to the question. None of them say you should not read into every word. In other words, maybe a Muslim can read into every word, but an average person should not try to get there.
So you want to say that they're not arguing, but I think the Rambam, I don't think Rambam would agree with that. Because it sounds like what you want to say is that the Rambam would agree that every word has meaning, but we're not going to find it. I don't think he's saying that. I don't think so. I think the Rambam is saying pretty explicitly that there are some nevuos where everything has meaning, and there's some nevuos where there's, you know, poetic license, literary devices just to make it more readable and more approachable for us, but we should find the main point and not focus on every single word. Okay. Either way that you learn Tanakh, you will find great value and you have someone to rely on. And if you learn it both ways, you'll have even more. Okay. There will be no shiur tomorrow. Have a good day.